Amen. Give God a good hand this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I love your pastor and Miss Jackie so much. Pastor Rick and I are very good friends, and you have a great pastor. You have a tremendous man of God. Amen. I respect him as much as anybody, and the reason that I do is because I know him outside the pulpit just as much as I do inside the pulpit. And a man of character and dignity and honor and respect, always takes the high road. And Miss Jackie is just the best pastor's wife. Supports him, by his side, loves her grandbabies, keeps him in line. And wonderful, wonderful woman of God, anointed, great speaker as well. And so you ladies that are going to be at that brunch, you're going to be blessed by her. But today's my wife's birthday, and I wanted to say to her publicly, happy birthday. And she's just getting better every year. So I'm glad for that today. But thank you so much for allowing me to be here. And Randy and Jane, thank you for coming today. It was so good to see you. What an awesome surprise. Randy's also a great, great friend. He's actually the first person I met when I came to Lakeland. And, man, we just hit it off with food and football. And I'm glad he's here. And he's a wonderful man of God and anointed and talented. So, but thank you so much, congregation, for allowing me to be here today. I pray that God will bless your heart. And I pray that we'll have a good move of God around these altars in just a few moments. If you will, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Familiar passage of Scripture this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. This morning I want to preach on the subject, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. There's a Frank Sinatra song that's actually titled The Best Is Yet to Come. But this morning we're going to talk about what the Word of God says about the best is yet to come. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that there's power in Your Word. There's power in Your name. The anointing power of God is in this place today. I pray, God, that You would anoint my lips to speak Your Word and nothing else. Take anything that's Nathan out and take everything that's Holy Spirit and let it flow in this place. And let Your people be blessed by Your Word and what You have to say today, God. And Father, when it's time to come around these altars, and I pray that Your Spirit would touch us in a powerful way that brings life change into this house so that people will leave this place today encouraged, changed, but forever remembering what You did in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, speaking about the wisdom of man and comparing the wisdom of man with the wisdom of God. In his first letter to the church, he explains that the wisdom that we gain through God, through the Spirit, and the unthinkable blessings that God disposes upon us if we love Him. He actually quotes Isaiah chapter 64 and 4 in this passage of Scripture that we just read, reminding the church that no mind has even conceived or been able to even understand the things or the blessings that God has for our lives. He's encouraging the church at Corinth to stay strong and to hold on, for the best is yet to come. I want to tell you today, this morning, that your life may have been a difficult one so far. You may have had a bad week or a bad year, or maybe the beginning of 2018's not been favorable to you. But I believe with all of my heart that if we'll hold on, if we'll press down, if we'll pull down, if we'll hold fast to the truth of the Word of God and stand strong upon our faith, which is given to us by God, hold on to His Word, that God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us with so much we won't be able to contain. For the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. These initial writings in this verse, Paul is referring to the future glory that God has prepared for us. It's likely also that he's not only referring to the blessing of heaven and what is to come, but to the immediate blessing of God's Spirit, His power, and what He wants to do with us while we're upon this earth. I believe this morning that our days are numbered, that we're in the last days, but I believe as these last days are numbered that God's Spirit is about to do something upon the church as a whole that we've not seen in quite some time. And I don't know about you, but I want to be right in the middle of it when God's Spirit comes down and moves in a powerful way. I want to be right in the middle of it when I find out that the best is yet to come. I want to be right in the middle of it when God begins to pour out His Spirit in these last days like we've never seen before. So this morning, I want to encourage you with three very simple truths from this passage of Scripture. The first is this. Number one, the mind can't contain the blessing of God for my life. The mind cannot contain the blessing of God for my life. Psalm 139, 5 through 7 says, "You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot obtain it. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" God wants to bless us in such a way that our minds are blown away by the what, why, how, and who of that blessing. You can't hide from God. You can't outrun or outgo or out-extend yourself from His blessing of your life. You cannot run from His presence, the Bible tells us. David said that he can't go anywhere. In fact, he goes on to say that I made my bed in the pit of hell and yet you were there. I'm here to tell you today that if you are in the midst of a struggle, if you're in the midst of feeling like that hell has come down to you today, or come up to you today and is moving in your life, destroying your family or pulling apart what's yours, I'm here to tell you today that even in the midst of hell, the Bible tells us that God is yet there. So I want to tell you today, I want to encourage you this morning that even in the darkest moment of your life, that the best is yet to come. That your best days are not behind you. Your best days are ahead of you. You say, well, that's easy for you to say. You're 28 years old and full of energy and you're yelling, hollering, and screaming. Yeah, that's easy for me to say, but I want to remind you of a story in the Bible. Moses was 80 years old when he went to Pharaoh. Moses was 80 years old when he went to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh, you need to let my people go. He was 80 years old when he saw the burning bush and he got a vision for God of what God was about to do. He was 120 years old when he passed away just outside the promised land. God used him in the latter portion of his life greater than he did the 80 years before. I want to tell you this morning that God is not concerned about your age. He's only concerned about your willingness to do His will. Sickness does not distort God's plan for your life. Sickness does not distort what God wants to do in your life. Sickness cannot keep you from what God wants you to do in your life. You may feel feeble in your body. You may feel like that you didn't shout now like you used to back in the day. But I'm here to tell you today that God has given you a mind. He has given you the ability to speak. He has given you the ability to praise. And your best days are yet to come. Your best days are yet to come. Mind, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Neither has it entered to the heart of man the things that God has for those that love Him today. The best is yet to come. The mind cannot contain the blessing of God for your life. What you can't see is not always a reflection of what is truly there or is to come. Oftentimes what we do in our life is we base the future on what the present may be. And the present is not always what dictates the future. What we don't necessarily don't see may not always be what's there. God has more for what we're going through. God has more for the struggle. God has more for what we're facing today. You say, Pastor Nate, I've got a lot going on in my life and I've had a rough time or I've had a rough year or I want to see God bless this church. I'm here to tell you with the man and first lady of God that's at this church, you're going to see God do the miraculous in this house. You're going to see God move in a powerful way. Just wait, be patient, hold fast, pray for your pastor, and do everything you can to support this church. And God's going to do a great work in your life and in the life of this church. When you obey God, you open yourself up to the fullness of His promise. When you disobey God, you lock yourself out of His supply for your life. Moses was 80 years old when he confronted Pharaoh. Saw God miraculously set His people free. Moses saw the Red Sea part, saw manna fall from heaven, and God even spoke to him face to face in Exodus chapter 14, 16, and 33. The blessing and call of God is not bound by age, gender, sickness, or your well-being. God wants to bless you anyway. There's a phrase in Kentucky we use all the time, and it might be a little backwoods and it might be a little crazy, but they used to say around the altars when I was a boy, and they were praying for you. They were praying for you to hold on and turn loose and pray loose and hold loose, and I didn't know what to do. I was confused, so I was just saying, God, just help me, God, because I don't know what I'm supposed to do. When bobby pins were flying and hair was way up high and my granny was at the altar praying and crying and wailing before the Lord, they would say this phrase, hallelujah anyhow. Hallelujah anyhow. Well, I'm here to tell you that there's sometimes in your soul when things have gotten so bad, you don't know what to say. When you can't get your husband to come to church with you, when you can't get your kids to come to church with you and you're praying for them, I want to tell you, on the darkest of days, maybe the phrase that you need to use is hallelujah anyhow. God, today, despite what's going on, I'm going to give you the highest praise, which is hallelujah. I'm going to say hallelujah anyhow. I may not be where I want. I may not be getting to where I think I can go, but hallelujah anyhow. I'm trusting you for today. Hallelujah anyhow. It may not be the road that I thought I was going to take. This might be a tougher battle than I thought it was going to be. I didn't anticipate losing my house. I didn't anticipate losing some income. I didn't anticipate the things that have happened. But hallelujah anyhow, because I believe the best is yet to come. I'm trusting God that my best days aren't behind me. They're ahead of me. I'm going to say to my God, hallelujah anyhow. I'm trusting you, God. Hallelujah anyhow. So number one, the mind can't contain the blessing of God for our life. And number two, what I cannot think into reality, God can bring into reality. What I cannot think into reality, God can bring into reality. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "For this invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and His divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made." If what you're facing in your life is bigger than what you think you can handle, if what you've endured has worn you out, we serve a God who can change the reality of any situation because He has the power to do so. He doesn't need your situation to get better for Him to move. In fact, your situation can get worse and He can still move. When the children of Israel were at the Red Sea, they had the Red Sea in front of Him, and the millions of Egyptians came from the army behind them. And here is Moses with nothing more than a stick. His elders rise up and say, "Did you bring us out here in the wilderness for us to die? At least we had graves in Egypt. At least we had food there. At least we might have been slaves, but at least we had a way. At least we knew what we were doing every day." Moses looks out over the vastness of that sea. He looks behind him and he hears chariots and horses coming to destroy the millions of Israelites that he had led out of Egypt. Didn't look like any promised land for him. For you today, what's in front of you and what's behind you may not look like a promise. What's behind you may be a past that's checkered. What's ahead of you may be a mortgage payment that you can't afford. It might be an electricity bill that you don't know how you're going to pay. It might be babies that you're trying to feed because you're trying to make it as a single mother. It might be the reality of your life might be that you feel like that you've lost decades of time because of what's happened or because of maybe what you did yourself. But I come to tell you today, that in the midst of your Red Sea, in the midst of the Egyptian army that seems to be, your past just seems to be creeping towards you. The future doesn't look too bright. God always has a way of escape. God always has a Red Sea. God always can make a way. Moses stretches that rod out over the sea after God tells him to just simply do it. Sometimes God uses the most ridiculous things to get us out of problems. You may look at what's in your hand and you may say, "How in the world can God use me? How in the world can God do what I want, need Him to do or want Him to do?" All you have to do is just continue to obey God and be faithful. You may look over your life and say, "How in the world can God bless me? How can God use me?" But it's in those times that God says, just simply look what's in your hand. Just stretch it out over the future. Stretch it out over what's ahead of you. Stretch it out over your Red Sea. And just watch that Red Sea part. And you go across that Red Sea on dry land, leaving your past behind and perpetuating yourself into your future, into your destiny. You say, "Preacher, how in the world can that happen?" It happens because it happens through the supernatural. It happens because we serve a God that doesn't deal in the natural. He deals in the supernatural. What we can see is all we can see. But what He is able to do is beyond that which we can see. As believers in Christ, we're not bound to this earth. We're supposed to be bringing heaven down to earth. Our faith is what unlocks opportunity. Our faith is unlocks what unlocks destiny. And so when you say this little phrase, the best is yet to come, that's a statement of faith. That's saying, I believe that there's more for me. I believe that God's best is coming forth. I believe the future is going to be better than the past. You say, preacher, that sounds good in March. That sounds good around January when the little ball drops and it's a brand new year. I'm here to tell you it sounds good when you're in the midst of the fire. It sounds good when you're in the Red Sea. It sounds good when you're struggling between past and future and present. It sounds good anytime. You know why? Because God is a God that's faithful. God is a God that endures. God is a God that's strong. God is a God that can make a way where there seems to be no way. The Bible says your pastor's vision is to bring you from the impossible into the incredible. And I'm here to tell you today that that is possible when you unlock faith and you stand and you say the best is yet to come. The best days of Evangel Church of God are yet to come. God is not done. He's not through. He's not even began to get started with what He's going to do in your life. You say, Pastor Nate, I'm having trouble believing that today. Well, I don't know what else to tell you to believe it, but I know this today, that if you'll stand on the truth of God's Word, God will prove Himself to you. Malachi chapter 3 is not there just to prove yourself with tithe. It says to prove me. It's also there to prove that God is faithful. It's also there to prove that God will get you through what you're going through. God wants our reality to line up with our faith and our faith to line up with heaven's reality. Your reality may be meek. Your reality may be terrible. Your reality might not be the best. But God wants our reality to line up with heaven's reality. He wants our faith to line up with what His Word says. The best is yet to come when my faith lines up with God's plan for my life. His plan doesn't change based on circumstances. His plan is pre-planned and takes into account every pitfall in your life. Did you know that you can't mess up the plan of God? That's been preached terribly for years. As a kid, I thought, man, if I tell a lie, I'm going to mess up God's plan for my life. It was when I discovered the Word for myself that I began to find out that I really can't mess up the plan of God. I can delay it. The children of Israel delayed the plan of God for 40 years in the wilderness. They delayed the promise. You can delay it. You can deny it. You can run from it, but you cannot mess up the plan for God. If you think you can, you're saying that you're taking the place of God. I'm here to tell you that Jeremiah 29:11 tells me that He knows the plans He has for me. Says the Lord plans to prosper, to give me a future and a hope. He also told Jeremiah that He knew him before he was in his mother's womb. And if that's a promise for Jeremiah, then that's a promise for me today. I can't mess up the plan of God. I can delay it, I can deny it, I can run from it, but I cannot mess it up because He has planned it around my failure. He has planned it around my lack. He has planned it around the things that I've tried to mess up and try to delude. But I'm here to tell you today that God's plan and His promises are yes and they are amen. They are sure and they are forever and they are unchanged. You thought the best had come, but I came by to tell you today that the best is yet to come. I should have an expectation of God's goodness and favor to affect my daily life. It shouldn't be that we just come in here on Sunday and feel the goodness of God and walk out here and say, that was good church. That boy really, really yelled a lot. That was awesome. It should be that when we leave here that we literally change the world with the word that's in our heart. You say, what's that got to do with the best is yet to come? If you want the best is yet to come for this church, then you'll share the gospel with those outside these four walls. You'll show love to those that may not be loved. You will show grace to those that sometimes it's hard to show grace to. If you want the best yet to come in your life, you'll give. You'll give with all you have. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about effort. I'm talking about loving the unlovable. Reaching the unreachable, going for those that may not anybody cares about anymore, or may be lost, or may be undone, or may be feeling like that they don't have anybody that cares. You can be the difference between heaven and hell for somebody. You can be someone that takes them literally from the gates of hell and helps perpetuate them towards God's grace, mercy, and love. Thirdly and lastly today, number one, the mind can't contain the blessing of God. Number two, what I cannot think into reality, God can bring into reality. And thirdly and lastly, number three, the depth of the blessing of God exceeds human comprehension. The depth of the blessing of God exceeds human comprehension. Isaiah 43 and 19 displays this beautifully. It says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not understand it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." God wants to do something in your life that exceeds human comprehension, that you may not even be able to fully perceive or understand. God wants to do something that exceeds your ability to comprehend. God's blessing for your life is a reaction to the obedience in your life. The failures of today cannot change the blessings of tomorrow. The failures of today cannot change the blessing of tomorrow. His promises are sure. He wants to give us a blessing that supersedes our comprehension, because the reality most of the time of a blessing is it's really not a blessing if we can understand the source of it. If we can truly wrap our mind around it, it's really not a blessing. We say, "Pastor Nate, well, everything's a blessing." Absolutely. But the fullness of the depth of God's blessing for your life. God wants to blow your mind with what He does. He really does. You say, "Well, okay, I have a hard time believing that, though." Well, you know what? I have a hard time believing that grass stays green. I have a hard time believing that sky stays blue. I have a hard time believing that the moon just hangs up there and we call it gravity. I have a hard time believing that things are the way they are. But when I look around and I see the fullness of what God's created and made, I am blown away by who God is. I'm blown away that He's made caverns that are miles deep, and we call it the Grand Canyon. I'm blown away that He's made a solar system called the Milky Way in which we live, and galaxies beyond that we can't even find because of the vastness of the universe in which we're a part of. The best is yet to come. How is the best yet to come? Because we serve a God that's not done creating. We serve a God that's not done making. We serve a God that's not done remaking and reshaping. The Bible says that we're on the potter's wheel, and the best is yet to come because He's shaping and making and molding me into what He wants me to be. And that process does not end on this side of earth. That process is constant. That process is always a part of who we are. So when I say to you the depth of the blessing of God exceeds human comprehension, I believe it with fullness. I believe it with everything in me because I've seen it happen in my short life thus far, 28 years. Wow, not a long time. Seems like it, though. The depth of the blessing of God exceeds human comprehension. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." Thank you, Lord. His promises are yes and amen. Today, I have hope. Today I have hope that He is hope to the hopeless. Today I know that He is a friend to the friendless. Today I know that He is a strong tower for the righteous to run into and they are saved. Today I know that Jesus is the lily in the valley in the midst of my brokenness. Today I know that He is the morning star to your lonely nights. Today I know that He is the great I am to your lost and hurt soul. He's the am that I am to your unsure mind. He's the rose of Sharon to your empty spirit. He's the resurrected King to your sin-sick soul. He's the fount of every blessing. His promises are yes and amen. His favor is for a lifetime. His hand is not short and His power is unlimited. He can lead you by cloud by day and fire by night. There's never been a moment that God's been caught off guard by your problems, your pain, or your loss. Take courage today and take heart, for the best is yet to come. He's a God who can. He's God that will. He's a God that wants to. That's who I serve today, and that's who you serve today. The best is yet to come. Stand with me this morning. Thank you, Jesus. The best is yet to come. I may not see it yet. I may not feel it yet. I may have a hard time understanding it or perceiving it, but I'm here to tell you that the best is yet to come. Why would we want to serve a God that we can completely understand? Why would we want to trust in something that we know every move that individual is going to make? I trust a God who goes beyond what a mind can understand. I trust a God who put the stars in the heavens and they sit there and they go where He wants them to go. I serve a God who manipulates clouds and makes them move. I serve a God who formed and fashioned the earth with His hands. And the best is yet to come because I serve a God who creates and makes and remakes and reshapes and redoes. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Nate, that's good. I'm encouraged by what you said, but I have a hard time believing it practically for my own life. Most of the time, the struggle of faith is not because of us as necessarily as an individual, but it's because of what our eyes are able to see, or what we perceive, or what we comprehend. I pray today that if that's you and you're in this house and you say, I need to be encouraged today. I need someone to lift my head. I need to trust God. I need to believe God. I need more in my life. Would you join us at this altar? If you're here today and you say, I have a hard time believing that the best is yet to come because I've got bills that I can't pay. I have a hard time believing the best is yet to come. I'm going through a divorce. I have the best is yet to come because I'm dealing with sickness in my body. I have a hard time believing the best is yet to come because my children are still lost and I've been praying for them for years, for decades. I have a hard time believing the best is yet to come because I'm out of work or I'm having to go back to work because my retirement's not going as long as I thought it would. I have a hard time believing the best is yet to come because of the circumstances that are in my life. I'm here to tell you today that God is a God that knows your needs. God is a God that cares about your concerns, big and small. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a purpose. He's got a promise. I'm here to tell you today, be encouraged. Stand strong. Stand proud. Stand with purpose. Stand with promise. God's not forgotten about you. Your best days aren't behind you. Your best days are ahead of you. So how can you say that? Because I know God can use anybody. I know God can use anybody. Because He used me. If you're in this house today, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you say, Pastor Nate, I need to be prayed for. I need to come to this altar and pray. I need somebody to meet me in this altar today. The Holy Spirit is here in this house this morning. The waters have been troubled. Join us at this altar. Step out right now. I'm going to count to three. Step out. One, two, three. Step out in faith today. Meet God at this altar. Say, God, I'm stepping out in faith, believing the best is yet to come. Step out. Step out today.